But let's bring in Chris Rutkowski now, science writer, to talk about today's solar eclipse. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Hal.
You excited about this? People, I've never seen the excitement over a solar eclipse like the excitement over this one.
Yeah, you know, this one has really caught people's attention. I guess largely because it's going across the United States and the Americans are really going crazy about it. But, you know, we've got some pretty good viewing here in Canada. I just heard from some of my friends in Prince Edward Island. They've got perfectly clear skies. It's going to be great out that way.
Yeah, we don't here. We have pretty cloudy skies. I think here it's a partial solar eclipse, about 60% covered, something like that. My weather expert buddy Bruce Johnson says very few, if any, breaks in the clouds today. Who knows? We might get lucky. It'll begin here just before 1 o'clock this afternoon, and just after 2 o'clock is when it will peak at, as I said, about 60%. Right.
Right, and it's, you know, it's if you have the proper viewing apparatus, you will be able to see a nice chunk taken out of that sun.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit because you do the UFO report every year, and you and I often talk about some of the weirder stories out there. I guess sort of in the realm of science, in a way, you're a legit science writer, but you, like me, enjoy this other stuff. There have been a lot of the radio shows and podcasts and some of the sites that are out there when it comes to conspiracy theories. You know, in ancient times, some of the civilizations, when they experienced a solar eclipse like this, it was seen as a bad omen, or, you know, the gods were speaking, good or bad. But there have been a lot of conspiracy theories around this particular solar eclipse. Have you been following that stuff, Chris, at all?
Well, you know, I hear it. I don't pay a great deal of attention to it, but it is true. You know, the solar eclipses have really had, a very big part in the development of our civilization. In fact, it's just an amazing coincidence that the moon is just exactly the right size to fit over the sun. You know, if you actually have a Tylenol tablet, or, you know, the round ones, not the long ones, but the round ones, and hold it at arm's length, it actually covers up both the sun and the moon. And that shows you that we think they're larger, but they're actually fairly small. And it's just an amazing coincidence that they fit the same way. And, you know, in the past, our ancestors, you know, would be very, very terrified at this. And, you know, it's played a part in some wars. It's played a part in, you know, in some politics in Egyptian times, in the European times, and places around the world. So, you know, there's been some, interesting, the fact that, we wouldn't probably be in the same society as we are now if it wasn't for the eclipses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, some are saying, oh, you know, we'll have today's solar eclipse, and then, who, you know, watch for a stock market crash, possibly. Some are saying the earthquake, the unusual earthquake in New York the other day is part of this, the war we're seeing, all around the globe. But I think that's a stretch, tying that to this. But it's interesting, right? I get a kick out of it, and I know you get a kick out of my right? You enjoy getting my text messages asking you about these conspiracy theories, don't you, Chris?
Anytime, yeah. No, it's great. Yeah, people are really saying we've got politics, we're going to have earthquakes, birds are going to fall out of the sky, who knows?
Yes, yeah. You know what? You talked about the sun and the moon and how it ends up being a total eclipse, complete coverage for areas of North America today. It is interesting, isn't it? It's almost like it was planned, but you think, well, how can that work? The moon is so much smaller than the sun. How can it cover it perfectly? It just so happens that the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, but the distance between the two is 400 times, and it's just perfect. I mean, it's some of this stuff is just crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, the science behind this is really quite fascinating. This is a really good science lesson. If you really want to get into it, we can do that with kids, and it's really quite fascinating. And the fact that somebody for a number of people, scientists, or what would have been astrologers actually way back when, figured out how this works. They could actually predict solar eclipses. And, you know, the math behind that is absolutely mind-boggling, because they didn't have calculators and computers back then, but they were able to do it simply by careful observation. And, you know, it's quite amazing to think that, you know, that some of the smarts out there can do that.
Chris, thanks a lot for this. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Hal.
Science writer Chris Rutkowski, and entered again, as he always does, entertaining my questions about conspiracy theories. Listen, I don't put much. This even came up in our morning news meeting. One of our producers said, "Are you following some of the conspiracy theories, some of the bizarre talk around this this solar eclipse?" And I enjoy following it. Not much of it do I say, "Oh, you know, maybe." A lot of it's pretty out there, but it is interesting how many people are tying some of these worries and concerns to today's solar eclipse. Speaking of worries and concerns, do not look. Well, we don't have to worry too much about it here because it's cloudy. But let's say you get a clear break, or the coverage is thin in the cloud, and you do get a look. Make sure you are only looking up with eclipse glasses, okay? Make sure of that. And to remind you to be safe today, muchos kilos, me, Shainer, and Timmy, my band of big guys, have a new song for you called Eclipse Glasses.
You don't want your eyes burning when you look up to the sky. The last thing you need is to wind up going blind. When the moon covers the sun, tragic. So go get yourself some eclipse glasses. Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! It's a crazy thing when the day turns into night. You better protect your eyes or you're gonna lose your sight. You'll need a long white cane and you'll take some Braille classes. Unless you get yourself some eclipse glasses. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Eclipse glasses, muchos kilos. Me, Shainer, and Timmy, my band of big guys. By Sheena LeGrand, who joins us on the phone now. Sheena, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for
Love
having me.
Song. Love the song.
Thank you. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been, well, now listen, you've had a name change. It's been about a decade since people have heard from you musically. Tell us what's going on. Explain.
Oh, wow. It's been a journey for me to decide, you know, what my life path was going to be. I really wanted to be a mom, and I was getting to that point in my life where I had to make some decisions. And then I finally just like broke open and realized that I really can still stay connected to music and have a family. And it really took me letting go of what I believed was possible for women in this industry.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah. And you know what? And I had your song on repeat yesterday in my home studio while I was getting ready for the show today. And it put a smile on my face. It's just such a cool song.
That's wonderful. I'm really so touched by the response I'm hearing from so many people. It's really lovely.
And this is part of an album that's coming, right? Which is called Back to Life, which, I mean, the song's name, Green Light, and Back to Life, the album's name. I mean, obviously, this is for a reason, right? Because you gave yourself the green light to come back, and now you're coming back to life, at least musically, in the music industry.
Yeah, it feels like it's symbolic in a few different ways. And I really feel like I was trying to capture something that I just saw many of us maybe feeling after the last few years that we've sort of endured together as a collective. I really wanted to capture that in some of the music and have fun with it. I think that some of my earlier discography focused a little more on sort of more sorrow or solemn, or I love a really good ballad, you know, I love writing sad songs, but the next kind of insurgence of music that was coming through me was just a little lighter, and I'm really grateful for that.
I think having kids does, I don't have kids, but I think having kids does that, right?
It totally does. It he brings such joy to our lives every day, and I think that was just a piece, I think, in my own personal journey that I didn't anticipate. I didn't know if I'd be able to have kids, and I didn't know if that would be something that lined up with, you know, obviously touring and focusing so much on music. My songs were my children for a lot of years, and I really felt that way. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here we are.
Yeah. Do you see this as an opportunity to do it with your family, with your son? I sort of sense that from you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to take some learning, you know, on our part in terms of, you know, what feels good for children when they're young and traveling. And, you know, I don't want to have him locked in a car seat or a plane seat more often than he really wants to be. But at the same time, I'm still looking forward to sharing my travels with my partner and son and really just reimagining what's possible when we work together as a team, as a family team unit. And, you know, it feels pretty hopeful, actually. I really love it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned what we've all been through over the past several years. I assume you're talking about the pandemic. I think COVID and the pandemic kind of got us all thinking about what do we really want from this life, right? It certainly did for me, and I know it's done that for a lot of people, family and friends in my circle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, and it's going to show up in the themes of the musicians that are writing. It's going to happen that way, because that's sort of what I see our role as artists, as we're, you know, sort of capturing the energies and the sentiments and like what people are carrying. And yeah, I just felt like I wanted to contribute something of myself to what I was witnessing and feeling. And it felt like the right time to give music again, and we all could use it, I think.
No kidding. I love Green Light. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album, Back to Life. How can people hear Green Light now, the album eventually, and tell us if you have any plans to perform anywhere locally soon?
Yeah, I have the song is on all platforms now. You can get it on Spotify or Apple Music or any place that you listen to music. And the album is coming. I obviously, as a new mom, I'm picking away at this as at my pace, and my son will always come first. But my timeline is definitely in the next number of months to have a consecutive sort of run of singles that I'll be sharing with people if they want to stay connected with me through my website or on social media platforms. I'll be sharing the journey there. And I'm really excited to share that I'm going to be doing a concert out in my hometown. I grew up in Treherne, Manitoba. Shout out to Treherne. And they've invited me to do a show at the end of July. So that's going to be something to look forward to for sure.
Sheena, all the best.
Thank you so much, Hal.
Sheena LeGrand, she's got a new song called Green Light, and it will be part of an album that she's going to have out soon, as she said, in the next number of months. But she's got a son, and she took a decade off to raise her family, have a family and raise her son. And now she's decided to get back into music. And I think it's a great choice. I think she can. Caitlin St. Germain is one that I think off the top of my head who has a family. She has four boys who has a family, and she's doing music and doing a great job of it. So I congratulate Sheena and wish her all the best.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.